I know people say, oh, your phones aren't listening to you, but we were just talking about retro video games, and here is an ad for home mini arcade machines, which looks kind of cool, but how did it know we were just talking about that? Is my phone listening? Is it a psychic? What's happening?
People always say, I was talking about this product, and then I saw an ad for it. Matt, are they listening through my phone? And I'm like, well, they didn't hear you. They didn't listen to anything. The truth is actually more frightening.
I think everyone listening has said this at least once in their life, if not just yesterday. Can our phones really listen to us? There is a conspiracy theory that maybe the mics on our phones are never truly turned off, because if they were, how would they be able to hear, hey Alexa, or hey Siri? Some people say that it's against the law to actually record conversations without the person's consent. But in all that small print that we quote-unquote agree to, did we consent to our phones listening to us? In this episode, we're going to react to PBS, who did a special on phones and how they know what you're going to do before you even know it. Whew. Well, we're going to talk about this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things.
Welcome to Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, where we teach you how to be rich in spirit and righteous in action.
Welcome back. My name is AB Ridgway. I'm a certified private wealth professional with over a decade of experience in the financial industry, the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. I was sent this video and we're going to check it out and see if our phones are really listening to what we have to say.
You talked about that thing because they influenced you into having this conversation. It's because the algorithm took you to this place. And that's the situation with our data.
There have been some outlier examples of ad tech companies listening without consent, but that's against the law. For the most part, advertising algorithms know you so well that they can predict what you would find interesting. They're so good because they've studied all the data gathered about you from the data brokers.
There's this kind of dossier that's being created about you as you're wandering around the internet, and it's being used to, you know, decide what ad you see.
Advertising fuels the economics of the internet, and advertising is fueled by you, me, us, our personal data. So how do the algorithms actually work?
You land on a web page, and that web page gets your IP address. A unique identifier is returned to a data broker. That data broker looks up all the facts that were ever gleaned about you. A dossier that describes you.
And then advertisers literally bid. They bid on you in a real-time auction based on the only lesson I remember from Econ 101, supply and demand.
There's a saying that if you don't pay for something, you are the product. The idea is that your information, how you're scrolling, how you're looking at videos, how you even engage in this video is being tracked by YouTube, is being tracked by these brokers, and they are going to try to resell you for the sake of profit. So if you think, well, I don't buy anything, I don't sell anything, these people are really gathering your information, and that's what they're selling. Some of these companies have what they call retargeting ads. So you go to Amazon, you choose some shoes, you click on the shoes, and then 2 days later, those shoes pop up on a website that's not even associated with where you were at. Maybe it was a blog, or maybe it was a video. And you're like, why is this appearing here? They're using what they call retargeting ads. They're trying to remind you of the things that you've already looked for.
The demand side platform that the advertiser is on says, I have here an 18 to 34 year old man child with an Xbox in Southern California. Who wants to pay to cram something non-consensually into his eyeballs? And that takes place in a marketplace. And you have advertisers on the other side who have standing orders. They're like, I want to advertise to 18 to 34 year old man children in Southern California who own Xboxes. And the marketplace conducts an automated high-speed auction where it's just like, I'll pay so many fractions of a cent. I'll pay that plus 10%. The high bidder gets to show you an ad.
All of this happens nearly instantly. And it's possible because data brokers sort and cull personal data into super detailed consumer groups. This is the process that delivers relevant personalized ads for cute shoes or that new tea club, if you're into that sort of thing, which all the ads seem to know about you.
Here we have, for example, Soccer Mom.
Okay, I might be able to identify with that.
A sporting good retailer could then go and check out a file on what a soccer mom's online activity is like.
What are the things that they tend to spend money on? And do they like to save? Are there certain times of year where they might spend more or less?
With all this data about soccer moms' consumer habits, retailers can send personalized ads with uncanny timing.
Have you ever been watching a YouTube video and you have this epiphany, this great thought that, you know what, I'm going to type that in the comments because I think that's a great joke or I think that's a great feedback. And you get there and someone's already written it. Not only has someone already written it, 3, 4, 10, 20, 40, 50 people have already written it and 1,000 people have liked it. You know what that means? That wasn't necessarily an original thought. So what they're going to do, they're going to feed you information that comes to the same conclusion, whether it's to buy their product or go on their vacation or watch their favorite YouTube video. These advertisers can't predict what you're going to do, but they can offer you the highest probability of what you would like to do. If you get a new car, they may send you air fresheners.
Some people like the results. Soccer moms get deals. Advertisers keep websites we love in business. But some consumer categories can be more concerning.
Sometimes they'll have categories that are like, this person has erectile dysfunction, this person has a gambling problem. This is a list of kind of people that are likely to fall for frauds. So these can be really powerful and damaging lists.
So this one, for example, diabetes.
Oh. Okay, healthcare demographic.
The thing about that, right, is like when you're thinking particularly about health data, that indicates that you're probably in a pretty sensitive situation.
I'm now thinking about all the patients I take care of, and I shudder to think at the targeted ads that are deliberately targeting these individuals.
Brothers and sisters, the reason we want to talk about this today is because when you are investing or if you're highly in debt, you're going to get those advertisements. You're going to get those videos about getting out of debt and get rich quick. And it's going to prey on you because you're in a vulnerable situation. So I want to make this content for you so you can be well aware that when you are in a vulnerable situation, you have to heighten your sensitivity to information because they are going to attack you. And that's why it's very important to have a financial advisor that doesn't share your persona. Someone who could look at your life objectively, see what you have to do, and go from there. If you need help putting together your financial plan, there's always a consultation link down in the description. Make sure that you subscribe and you like, comment, and share. It's really going to help share this and help the algorithm give this to other people who are looking for Christian counsel on money matters. Well, that is it for me. My name is A.B. Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.